This morning, we're going to give three of our awesome sisters. Now, there's something we do here. We promote membership. I have talked about this here before. When it comes to church membership, everybody kind of be like, I don't want it. But then everybody wants to be Sam's Club's member. Everybody, you know, everybody wants to be Costco's member, you know. Walmart, now they've got a member. Walmart, you know, every place is now. They're talking about membership. Why? Because you've got benefits, the pros and cons. I mean, it's good. You know, it's a 7-Eleven. You know, you buying gas, they ask you, you know, are you a member? You know, you can save 10 cents per gallon. You're like, yeah, sure. Sign me up. Member. You know, but I want to go in the word this morning to just encourage you guys to plug in. You know, I mean, look at our bodies, okay? If a toe is cut from the body, that toe will die. So God wants you to plug in. I talked to a couple people, especially the past couple of weeks. Actually, Friday, I was talking to somebody. I said, so where are you? What community? You know, community, that's come from two words, common unity. You know, what community, what family are you part? You know, everyday language you would ask him, what church do you go to? The person says, well, I go to Regent. I said, Regent has a church? Well, no, she's go to school to Regent. I ask another person, where do you go to, you know, what's your community? She says, oh, I go to online church. You know, so there is a lot of people because they've been hurt in the church, because of the lack maybe of ethic in leadership, or the hypocrisy in the church, in Christianity, in, you know, people can't be real, people can't trust people. So then a lot of other people say, you know what, I'm going to try to serve Christ by myself. But I tell you, it's totally impossible to do the life without a body. You have to be part of a body. Some people don't believe that. They don't trust that. So they get confused. They think, well, you know what? I know a lot of people, because they've gotten hurt in the church, they don't want to be part of the body. Okay? Now, before I mention those three beautiful sisters, I also want to mention something. You know, they say, I've heard a preacher, he said that. He said, if you really want to, not in our family, but depending on what family you're from, if you really want to ruin a family dinner or family gathering, you talk about church, religion, or faith. I mean, that's kind of the same thing. And politics. You know, it's like people, certain families, they don't want to, it's like politics divided people. You know, church divided people. Faith divided people, where it shouldn't be like that. You know, today, what's today's date? The 6th. So in almost about a month, there's going to be an election in our country. Okay? Now, believe me, no one has the right to tell you who to vote for. Okay? No one can sway you. You know, I mean, your good friend could tell you, but no one can tell you what to vote for. But one thing I've been kind of meditating on in the past couple of weeks is Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, is not on the ballot. Okay? So if we remain silent, just think about where we will be in 25 years, in 30 years. And I want you to think a little bit where we have been, how far we've come in the past 35 years. You know? I mean, just some very simple things. You know, in the past 30 some years, you know, you've got like gender confusion. You know, marriage has been redefined, right? In the past 40 years, okay? So we, as kingdom citizens, we cannot remain silent, okay? And once again, there's a lot of verses. I'm not going to do an election sermon, you know. I could, but I'm not doing it. But I just want to say, guys, please, and I wrote it, stop. Let's try, do your best to not making your vote about a popularity contest. Because 8 years down the road, policy will affect your child, your grandchildren. Okay? Policy. I mean, 35 years ago, think about it. You know, I read it yesterday. There is a big deal. It's a big deal in Florida right now to save or to not disturb the sea turtle. The sea turtles. To not disturb them. But what about the unborn in the womb? Do you know we need to pray for CPC? And you guys do your homework. Go online on Google, type CPC. You'll see what Google gives you. Their first propaganda or the first opinion on CPC is, I don't want to say it on mic. You go read it. To go tell you that CPC is a ministry doing their best to partner with the Holy Spirit to save the unborn. The whole system is against it. I can't remember the number. It's taking millions, I mean hundreds, thousands of dollars for them to stay on Google. Why? Because they're going against the flow. Because they're promoting kingdom values. Also, they want to serve the, they want to be a voice for the unborn. Okay? So vote for a candidate that's mostly, I'd say vote for a candidate that's closely aligned with our biblical values. With our biblical values. So, you know what? Jesus is not on the ballot. If Jesus would be, man, I'm like, I'm all in. But I'm looking at for policies. And I'm looking at the word of the Lord. And I believe if me, your pastor, and please, save the emails, save the texts. We don't have to talk about this, okay? I'm not telling you who to vote for. It's not my place. But you do your homework as a citizen of heaven, of the kingdom. You have a responsibility to go and look at the policies and look at the word of the Lord. Don't look at your feelings or your opinions. That's what I'm doing. That's why when we do it like that, you won't associating yourself with a party. And you won't become a fanatic. Fanatic? Yeah. Because sometimes it's too much. It is too much. Anyway, I'll close this and go back to my sermon. Amen? You know, I know this is, but seriously, I have no problem talking about this stuff. But at the same time, hear my heart. And I'm thinking, maybe I want to go for one for office if God calls me. Because you know the privilege you have to make an impact when you go for office? You know, good government cannot save us, but bad government will kill us, destroy our country. You know how I know? Haiti. I was talking to some of my people yesterday. I said, man, I wish I would win for mayor when I was in Haiti. Maybe I wouldn't be here. Because I'm like, I see what I could do. You know, I'm very limited as a pastor. But just imagine when the righteous rise up in the position of power in the city. Because righteousness is a nation, right? But sin, what does it do? Destroys it. Anyway, it would be a good thing to preach on a sermon like that, but let's go back to what I want to do this morning. Is church membership biblical? That's a good question. This morning we want to give what I call the right hand of fellowship to three of our sisters. We do, when people start coming here, after a while, you know, I talk to them, I check with them, you know, see if, you know, where they come from, I hear their story. Some of you have been there, you know. And then we invite you to a class or to a dinner. We talk about who we are as a church, you know, our vision, our philosophies, you hear our stories, okay? And then, of course, because I value covenant. Because I'm in covenant with Jesus, you are in covenant with Jesus. That automatically put us in covenant. Okay? So we talk about that. And then later on, you know, maybe 5 months, 6 months, year and a half later, some people will be like, you know what? I want to plug in. I want to plug in. I want to plug in here. Meaning, I want to invest here. I want to submit under authority here. I want to, you know, the idea is not ask, do not ask the church what the church can do for you, but ask yourself, how can I invest in the work God is doing here? Where do I find myself? Because you grow by giving. You know, growth comes when you give. So therefore, there's a verse in Galatians chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 9. It says, Paul, there's an encounter where James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, meaning they recognized the grace given to Paul. They agreed that Paul and Barnabas should go to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcised, you know, and then what they did, because they, you know, James, Peter, and the other guys, they recognize Paul and Barnabas' calling, so therefore they give him what we call the right hand of fellowship. You know, giving the right hand of fellowship, when I studied the Bible, I see it's a solemn act of partnership, signifying acceptance, agreement, and trust. So therefore, we promote commitment. You know, I have an older daughter. She's married, but I still have one at home. I tell my daughter, I said, when a guy finds you, he loves you, and if he really loves you, guess what? If he sees value in you, someone he wants to spend time with for the rest of his life, he's gonna want to engage, commit. He's not going to invite you to go live together, because living together has no commitment. Because when I'm living together with you, guess what? I'm mad and then I leave. But then when I commit and you make sure you understand covenant, the way God created marriage, he created marriage. So listen, because the marriage is built on the firm foundation, when things doesn't work, you don't quit. I love what Mama and Papa said here. How do you do it for 40 years? That's a good idea. That's a good analogy. Yeah, you know, your teeth and your tongues, they live in the same mouth. Yeah, actually, I bit my tongue yesterday. My teeth bit my tongue. But guess what? The same tongue's like, you know, the whole body's like, you know. Why? They're in the same mouth. You cannot throw the tongue away. You got, you know, they got to comfort and heal each other. That's awesome. That's wisdom, right? So the right hand of fellowship is a foundation. I see a lot of value in it in the body of Christ. To this day, I should take that back. I don't know if people do that. We do, but most people, I'd say back in the days, you remember when you used to shake on it? You shake hands. You know, you give somebody your word and you shake hand on it. I mean, a lot of people don't keep their words anymore. But we as kingdom citizens, we should. That's a value. When I say I'm going to be with you, I'm going to be with you. If I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. If I say I'm going to help you, guess what? Doesn't matter what time you need me, I'm going to be there. See, that's covenant. And that's the way God called us to live. You know, for us here at Restoration Church, the practice of extending the right hand of fellowship is something we value. I value that. Since I lived here for 5 years now, I'm realizing we live in a generation where people don't like commitment. You know, everybody wants to be just like, you know, I'm not committed. I'm just floating. You know why? Because when I'm upset, I just want to be your friend with open doors. Yeah. I want to leave my options. I want to live with options. Right? That makes sense. That's what I'm seeing in the culture here. And then therefore, we live in the church like that. You know, with me and my wife and my children, we don't have option. We don't have an exit door. When there is issue, we talk about it. We fix it. Now we understand there might be a time, it's going to be a sad day, when Ryan decide to move out of my house. It's going to be a great day too, but it's going to be sad. Let's balance it, okay? You know, but when he'll move out of my house, he's going to move with my blessing to start his family. And guess what? I'm not going to get a smaller house because he's going to bring his wife and his children back home. You see the mindset? He's going to come visit, bring them for Christmas, bring them for my birthdays. You know, I'm setting the plane right here, right? Come bring them for Father's Day, you know. You know, so we value covenant, we value commitment. And the reason I take time to talk about this morning, because I see it as a great opportunity when we welcome new members to reinforce and encourage you who have been committed to this church to remind you, listen, you're in covenant with Jesus, you're in covenant with each other. Your pain is my pain. My pain should be your pain. My joy should be your joy. If I'm prospering, you are prospering too. You know, when you go through tough time, I don't know for other pastors, but from my perspective, ask my wife. I'm all in. But believe me, when I'm all out, I'm all out. But I'm not a quitter. So when it comes to relationship, my church, I am all in. Because I understand commitment. I understand God calls us to be a family. You know, so as the process of welcoming new members into our congregation, the right hand of fellowship is, I call it for what it is. I use the biblical term. I said it's the right hand of fellowship. But then I want to put emphasis right there on this word fellowship, which from the Greek koinonia, which means friendship or sharing, partnership. There's nothing like a couple who are friends. Like me and Kendra, we're friends. I remember when I was younger in our marriage, I thought I was Kendra's friend. And then I'd be talking. I said, yeah, who's your best friend? I said, Kendra. Kendra looks at me. Me? You're not my best friend. I'm like, shucks. It's like, oh, man, that hurts. But then later, as I grew in my relationship with my wife, I realized what she was saying was right. Because what does friend do? Friends like to spend time together. Friends, we could be going on a trip right there and we talk in the car for hours. We don't have to be listening to anything, but we talk. There's nothing more terrible than being in a relationship where you hate the person. You're not in love with them, but you don't like them. There's a difference between, oh, you know what? I've got no choice, but I don't like the person. Man, I like my wife. I love her. When she's gone, I'm miserable. I'm teaching myself to cook. But it's not the food I miss. It's her presence. It's the companionship. And I tell you, ask her, when I'm gone, she can't breathe. You ask her when I'm not around, okay? But in the word here, fellowship, I want to put emphasis on here, because a lot of the time we in the church, we think, well, we go to church, but we can't be friends. But listen to this, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Strong friendship and fellowship are an essential part of a healthy and growing local church. That's why it says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, from verse 40, it says, and with many other words, Peter was preaching a message. People give their life to the Lord, repent of their sin. And then it says, Peter, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast, meaning they devoted. That this word right there, please don't go try it. It's proskatetero, which means devoted. Give themselves, give attention. But I like it says, it's like they give themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching. Man, you start meeting together in home groups. And I'm saying this to some of you. You are so busy. This is good. May God give you the wisdom to balance your life. Get involved in a home group. Get involved in a ladies group. Get involved in a mixed group. Because when you just come to church, we don't get to know you. You know? The other day I had one of our brother, he's actually on a cruise. Actually, we've got a couple people celebrating their anniversary today. Ange and Aaron, they're celebrating their anniversary. Happy anniversary to you guys. And then we have Mike and Teresa. You know, they're celebrating their anniversary. Mike and Teresa. And Becky and Tony. Okay, all right. Yeah, they're celebrating their anniversary. That's great. You know, so but I don't know where I was going to go with that. But anyway, let's go back. It wasn't meant to say. But let's go back to the word. It says, they dwell in the apostles' teaching. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believe were together, and they had things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, divided them among them all, as anyone had need. So continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. You know what friend does? They know their house, each other. They know where each other lives. You invite each other for dinner. I'm not telling you to invite me for dinner, but that's not what I'm saying, but maybe you should. But I will invite you for dinner. And when I invite you for dinner, I want to know about your family. I want to know about your job. It's not because I'm nosy. Because some people are like, well, why do you ask me all this question? You know, why are you interrogating me? Interrogating me. That's what family does. I care about you. I want to know about your children. I want to know about your grandchildren. I want to know about your job. I want to know about your struggle. So when I pray for you, when I wake up during the night, I want to know how to pray. And I want you to know how to pray for me as well. That's what living in covenant is like. Okay? So to finish this, I mean, maybe I'll come back to preach that another time. But I want to read this First John chapter 1 verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Now remember, the word fellowship from the Greek, it means friendship. We share things in common, you know. That's why the first thing the enemy does to a believer when he wants to kill and destroy you, he removes you from the body. You start thinking, I'm not coming. I'm going to stay away. You start thinking, I don't want the church. I've got Jesus. I've got the Bible. Why do I? Well, that's how he trapped you in your mind. And then he start pulling you away. And then he isolates you. When he isolates you, and then he goes in your mind and poison your mind, and you become hopeless, helpless. But when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling discouraged, I go to my cell group. Even I go to my cell group right now. When I'm in the cell group, I'm having a bad day. Guess what? I tell everybody. I say, I'm having a bad day today. Guys, I need you to surround me. I need you to pray for me. I said, I don't know what's happening. I'm just irritated. Guys, I don't know what's going on with me, but this is what I'm dealing with. Because that's my safe place. I don't want to do the gospel by myself. And for any believers to think they can do the gospel by themselves, they're being deceived. If you have no desire to be with the believers down here, question your trip to heaven. Because guess what? We are going to be there. If you have any, if you have no desire to be with believers, question. Question your reservation to heaven. You know, the more you're in love with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and His Word, the more you'll value the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not perfect. The church, because we all here. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for holiness. We do not, especially here, we're not talking about everybody else. We won't substitute holiness for anything. God is a holy life, so therefore we must be holy. In everything we do, we must be above reproach. You know, sometimes we're thinking, well, it's just for the leaders. No. God, you know your call? You have been called to reconcile people with God. And I want to finish with this because I think this is very important. I'm talking about is church membership is biblical. There's a good scripture here. I want to touch it and I'll finish with that. Promise you. And then I'll invite the girls up. It says, it's in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, there's so much in this verse, but let's look at two questions here in this verse. First, is there no obligation requirement to belong to a local church? Then if there is no obligation for any believers to be involved or plugged in into a local church, which leaders should an individual Christian obey or submit to? And then the next question is for me right here. More personally, who, me as a pastor, should give account to God? And it goes further. We look at those two things, authority and submission. Like me, I'm under authority. I have spiritual authority over me. Do never go follow or give yourself under any kind of spiritual authority unless you know who they are accountable to. Oh yeah, I was so thankful that both of my spiritual fathers were here last Sunday. And I talked to them, Dr. Kenton, we talked every other week. And every time I got a question or I'm facing a situation, I talk to him. Dad, my Kendra's father, we talk all the time. I see him like last week. We were together for 3 days. We talk. I mean, he's always checking on me, you know, and I'm meeting other godly men. They, you know, because there are some people God call out there to just minister to pastors. And I've got those people in my life. So regarding the first question, am I supposed to be the shepherd or responsible for every believer out there? No. God's not calling me to be responsible for the Christian that goes to X Baptist church down the road. But he said, Ricardo, I'm going to keep you accountable for the souls of those I have entrusted you. So therefore, when we gather here, Jesus is the chief shepherd. I'm following him. I'm the little guy here. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm following you, Jesus. But who are those your sheep you won't entrust me? That's why we talk about covenant. That's why we talk about membership. Because I have to give count for your souls. I don't take this lightly. I pray for each one of you, man. I pray. You know, people who come, they come and go. That's why I'm saying this. And please, all of you, understand this. I will send this on the rest of my message on email because I want to bring the girls and I want to finish right now. Okay? But anyway, this morning, I am very excited to present to you Angie Coleman, Amy Hellman, right? Hyman. Oh, man, I butchered that one. And then Lodgy Hurley. Did I say it right? Come on, guys, put your hands together for these three beautiful sisters. Come on up here. And then I'm going to ask, let's see, I know Sam's not here. Laurie's here. I'll get Laurie to come up. And then let's see, I guess, well, Dave and Pauline, come on up here. Again, Kendra. But let me ask you this, guys. I know these ladies, they're on fire for Jesus, and I have talked to them. You know, we had a class with about maybe, what, 8 or 10 people. And so far, these three ladies, they're ready, and the others are coming later. But the question is very simple. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's right. You know, we already know it, but it's just a formality thing. Are you willing to support the church, his vision and mission? It's good. Are you willing to be involved in the ministry as a minister and participant, as it's stated in one of our core values? One of our core values says, every member is a minister. That's the way we see it. Are you? So now to you, church, will you welcome them? Yeah? Now, will you challenge them to grow? Will you keep them accountable? Amen? So therefore, in the name of Jesus, something, you know, this is a little ceremony right here. Like Paul said, you know, they give them the welcome hand of fellowship. Let's give them a welcome. Come on, shake their hands. Welcome, and we'll pray for you. Welcome. Yes. Yeah, it's good. Welcome. That's good. So, in conclusion, we do this, we understand there are seasons. God is a God of season, right? We understand that they might be here for 6 months. They might be here for a year. They might be here for 3 years. And they might be here like Pauline and, you know, and Larry and these people for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. But what we want, we bless them coming in. We want to bless them going out. Because what I don't know is there's a sister in our midst. I didn't see her after a while, and I contacted her. I was like, hey, where have you been? You know, I haven't seen you, you know, just worrying about you and stuff. Because I've already asked some other people. They said they haven't seen her. Oh, she says, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm not coming anymore. You see, a person like that, you don't understand commitment. You don't understand the value of being part. You don't understand the value of belonging. You know, it's like, man, I care. Oh, just like that, you just quit on me like that? I guess the relationship had not much value, I guess. And that's what's happening in churches. But for us here at Restoration, we don't want to live in such culture. We live in a covenant culture. We live in a culture where we do keep each other accountable. Because Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a unite church. Okay? So, and that's why we do this. And I think that's a very good example for us already members to be like, yes, man, I'm proud of to be part of this body. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I pray for Angie. I thank you for the work you've done in her life. I thank you, Lord, for just bringing her this season in our hearts, in our midst. We welcome her, Lord. We, you know, it's amazing talking to her, just listening to her testimonies and the way she wants to pursue you. And she decided, you know, she wants to continue to grow spiritually here with us. We welcome her and we bless her. Father, thank you for Amy. Lord, you know this woman. You've seen her. And God, we bless her. We are very excited for the next journey, for the next step, for the next season. We welcome her, Father. We bless her. I think the word that's in my spirit, just exciting for the next season in her life. Lord, thank you for Laji. Man, this lady, I met her over, I think, last year and a half ago, a year ago. Oh, man, Lord, I went to give her a hug. She didn't want my hug. You know, and it's amazing, and it's like, there she is. I sat with her for hours just to hear her heart desire to do the right thing. And therefore, she even struggled with the whole idea to plug in because she doesn't like commitment. But Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work you've done in her. I thank you for breaking the barrier. I thank you for breaking just the whole mindset of, you know, I'm not committing anywhere. But Father, we welcome her. Lord, we thank you for these beautiful daughters of yours. We thank you for the work you're doing in their life. We thank, and we receive them, we bless them, we increase their anointing. We know that I've seen, I've talked to them, and I've seen your hands over them, Father. So this morning, we just rejoice in what you're doing here. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people say, amen. Let's give Jesus a round of applause. Hallelujah. Welcome, ladies. Thank you very much. Thank you. You guys may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. So now let's stand in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Bernie, won't you come up here and pray for us and pronounce a blessing? Bernie, my man, in the coming weeks, we'll have Bernie share. Bernie is another veteran here, and we honor the veterans, you know.
Well, this has turned out to be a blessed day. Anyway, it's a joy to see the smile and joy in your faces because you're starting a new life in a new area. And I just want you to know you can put your trust in us here, him, and most of all in Christ.
That's right.
And he'll take care of you, okay? You. Lord, we just ask that you would bless these new members, Give them the trust and faith that they know that they can find in you. Help them, Lord, to go make good decisions and bad, but most of all, let them lean on the Word.
That's right.
Let them put their faith and everything in you. And we know that you will guide them and bless them. And we thank you, Lord, that they would be the blessing to us.
That's right.
As they do their work and bring new members into this church and to help those who are here who may be having difficulty or problems. And we give you all the honor and all the praise for what you're going to do in their lives. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Guys, make it a great day. God bless you. Please, come on, give somebody a high five. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.